Amen. Father, we just thank you for a wonderful time tonight with your people. It's an awesome time we're in, Lord. It's thank you, Lord, for getting me home safely. Thank you, Lord, for getting Terry home safely. Thank you, Lord, for getting everybody home safely. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Nobody's going to experience any bad torpedoes or anything. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of all this bad weather they're trying to put on us. Praise you, Father, for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for taking down the deep state and those crooked politicians, too. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. I notice where Elon Musk is going after these politicians that only make 225,000 dollars a year, that have 27, 59, 459 million dollars in their bank. So praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you that the angels out there helping them get expose the politicians in Jesus' name. Crooked politicians. Rhinos and Democrats both. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's did it. They're doing it even as we speak. Okay. Yeah, Julie.
Hey, I came across something on X today that we can pray about. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Jay Sekulow posted on X that President Trump is about to sign an executive order defunding Planned Parenthood. The Supreme
Praise
Court
the
could
Lord.
deliver. The Supreme Court could deliver another crippling low to the abortion giant. ACLJ is fighting in all fronts, and we can't let up now. So we need to pray that this will go forward, and we just bind all of the leftists. We bind every resistance to this executive order in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that it's done, and it's not going to be a problem for you or the angels to do what they need to do. Make sure this goes through without any problem. Thank you, Lord. Defunding Planned Parenthood is huge. Thank you,
Thank you,
Lord.
Lord. Amen. And Lord, take money what they got away from them, angels, and give it to the poor. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to get done. Lord, we thank you that your angels up there are working on the politicians' minds right now to show favor and vote for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, get rid of all these baby killers. Jesus' name. Go ahead, Teresa.
And can we also pray for protection? Protection for all the white hats, all the fighters for good. Can we pray for Trump as he
Yeah.
makes the right decisions, that God orders his steps to make the right decisions, and all the white hats working with him. Whether with them or in other areas, can we pray for protection
Sure, you can.
for these guys and gals that are trying to work righteousness?
Yeah, whatever you said there. That last part of it was.
Okay, I got to figure out what to pray. Let me see. Heavenly Father, heavenly. So, can you hear me?
Yeah. You probably would believe with you.
Are you able to hear me? Okay. Okay, Heavenly Father, your word says that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear you and delivers them. Oh, and taste and see that the Lord is good. So, God, I'm going to pray Psalm 37. I'm going to 34. God, concerning all the people that are working for righteousness and for good, and that have to fight these battles with all the people that are working evil. So I'm going to pray Psalm 34. Heavenly Father, your word promises in Psalm 34:7 and Lord in 6, it says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Well, Lord, this poor woman is crying to you, and you, Lord, I trust, Lord, you will hear me and save the people that are, me and family and all the people that I'm praying for out of all their troubles. Lord, your word promises that the angel of the Lord is encamping around Trump as you are ordering his steps and causing him to do your will as in heaven, so on earth, ordering his steps according to your and all our steps, God, according to your explicit will and word, life, way, fruits and gifts, and armor of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that your angel and Luce, that your angel, the Lord, is ever evil is going on. And we taste and see that you, Lord, are good. Blessed are we because minds do lack and suffer hunger, but we that are seeking you, Lord, we shall not want any good thing. And we pursue it. Your eyes, Lord, are upon us, your righteous who are working for righteousness, working to do what's right, working to manifest your righteousness in the earth, and your ears are open to them from the earth. And Lord, if they won't repent, we ask that you do that, God. We the righteous cry, and you, Lord, hear and deliver us out of all our troubles. Lord, protect us. The Lord giving us the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Many are the afflicted of Esau, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Lord, but you redeemed the soul of us, your servants, and none of the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father of our Lord, you forgive us our sins and cause us by your workmanship, Jesus, we forgive the sins of others against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. And for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with your kingdom, your power, and your glory, and bringing to pass what Jesus paid for on the cross, in all of creation, and in all earth, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. That prayer
All
has been
done.
answered. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. That's great. Good deal. Lord, we pray protection upon Trump, Musk, RFK, and all of their people. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that, keeping them from all kinds of, I was thinking today about Musk. He is in such a dangerous position. Because he is exposing all of these corrupt people in the government, and they want to get him out the way almost as much as they want to get Trump out the way. But Lord, we know that you got your hand on this bunch, and they are going to succeed in this bringing down the deep state in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. You've got thousands, if not millions, of angels up there keeping these people safe. And not only that, keeping them, not only keeping them safe, but helping them to identify the outlaws in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? I think I saw today where, might have been yesterday, but where Elon said that he was going to go after these politicians, senators and congressmen that make $225,000 a year only. Well, that's not all they make, but that's what they make on a salary. But they're worth anywhere from $459 million down to $10 million on this salary that they have. He's going after them, going to find out where this money that they got came from. And if he says he's going to do it, guess what? It's going to get done. It's going to get done. And he said, rhinos and leftists both. I saw a Republican the other day that I never heard of, but he was coming against him taking down USAID and these other things that are corrupt to the core. So, Lord, we thank you for bringing it all down, all the bad stuff, getting it out of the government, trimming it down to where the citizens can have peace, can have not only peace, but prosperity as well. For 1,000 years. Yeah, there. Now you got it. Yeah, praise God. Julie knew what I was talking about. To 1,000 years. That's what the New Age guys are talking about, a New Age peace, 1,000 years. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request? I want to, y'all, let me pray, Missy, if you don't mind. I'm going to pray for my family. Lord, I just lift up all of my girls to you and their families. I thank you, Lord, for peace, joy, and rest in their hearts. And I praise you, Father, that they're going to come through this in a mighty way. And it's going to help them all, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for my oldest child, Michelle. She had been a great help. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Ben.
Hey everybody.
Hey, Ben.
I got I just want to just get this confession off my shoulders. I spent a lot of time this weekend on YouTube and all that garbage. So just confessing that to you guys.
Right.
I just want to be more encouraged to read his word. I get a little distracted with chores here and there and just errands that I need to do, but the YouTube is not a good excuse. Not that any excuse is good, but I'm sure y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to confess that to all of you because, that's what's fair, I guess. It's been on my heart lately to pray for my grandma. She's been having a hard time breathing, and she's made the decision that she's no longer able to drive on her own anymore, and so she's kind of stuck in her condo complex, and she gets a little lonely, and it's hard to get out. Well, it's not hard to get out there. It's she lives a not well. Anyways, I should probably go out and see her more often. I'll confess that as well. But just that she's always in high spirits, but she's very discouraged lately because she used to be a very independent woman after her My grandfather died. She kind of had to take care of a big property all by herself, and she learned how to do all those things. And now she's kind of getting to the age where she has a hard time even holding a conversation. And so I'd like to pray for my grandma. Lord, I lift up Gran to you, Gail. Lord Father God, I thank you so much for my grandma. You gave her a strong spirit and a strong spirit of integrity and understanding. And Lord Father God, you've given her a great light in my life. And Lord Father God, I just pray that you give her strength. Lord Father God, I pray that you give her an understanding of your healing. And Lord Father God, I just pray that you give me some boldness to speak some scripture to her. I don't know where she's at with you. And Lord Father God, I know it can be a little intimidating sometimes to speak about you in front of my family. But Father, I just pray that you give me some boldness or an example of what you would do. Lord Father God, I just give her a mind to listen and to see that you do healings somehow, some way. Father, I know you put it into me, so I know you can put it into her to have faith for all this. Thank you, Father, for opening our hearts and opening our family's hearts to what you have for them. And thank you, Father, for all the things that you have ready for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the grannies out there. And the grandpas, too. Thank you, Lord. Bless the grandpas. Amen. Not forget them. All right. Who's next? How many grandmas we got on here? Oh, Missy, you're reluctant. I saw that. Oh no, I gotta put my hand up now. All right, how many grandpas we got? There's one. As y'all start saying, Andrew, you better lift your hand. How many great grandpas we got? Oh, that all of you should live that long. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Lord, we just bless all of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all of our children in Jesus' name. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment to teach them the things that you want us to teach them. And that's like Teresa and Benjamin was talking about integrity. Teach them the peace and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. I think Monroe, I don't know if he is or not. Monroe, are you a grandpa? I think he is he? Okay, good. There you go. All right. He's a grandpa too. So we got more grandpas than we got not grandpas. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Got on a little late, but so I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but Elon was in front of, I don't know what group he was in front of, but he was explaining the Social Security charts that they were. Were you guys discussing that before I got on? No.
No.
I'm just going to post the story. There may be a video in that or whatever. But anyway, they went into the Social Security,
Data.
data basically, and were looking for something else. And through the process, they discovered that there are over 5.5 million of the illegal aliens have been given Social Security numbers. And then if you watch that video, You'll see exactly how they did it. And they also found that a number of them have they've with that Social Security number have also registered to vote or been registered to vote, shall we say. And they've also found accounts of some of them already voting in the past election. So I don't know if everybody saw that or whatever, but I just it's already sending a few ripples. Well, it's sending ripples through the conservative media. It's probably will never it, I won't say that. It is definitely being hindered from coming out in the regular news, I would think. But anyway, I just want to pray in the name of Jesus, we bind that attempt. We see that that attempt to derail, to bring these illegals into our voting system and Social Security system and the whole thing. I send a forth, I just command that that process be neutralized, stymied, that those Social Security numbers that have been falsely entered in and given over to illegal non-citizens, that it be rebuked now, it be stopped, those numbers to be neutralized and eliminated from the system, the voting records be cleansed, the voting numbers be cleansed, and that number one, this process is traced back to people that are accountable. In Jesus' name, we command this system to come crumbling down to the ground in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. Hey, look, Caitlin. Look at you, girl.
You missed it, Michael.
What did I
Last
miss?
night during the praise and worship, Lakayla was getting fussy, so I put her up here, trying to get her happy, and she spit up right in my
Oh, golly.
First time in
Oh,
4 kids.
no. Oh, my goodness. All
We
right,
are
Caitlin.
sorry we missed that. Yes,
Everybody missed
really.
it. Like, at least someone should have got to laugh over
Okay.
it.
Stick that back somewhere, Matt. I'll be over tomorrow. Yeah, Missy, go ahead. Hey, Caitlin. Hey, girl. What you doing? Huh? Big blue-eyed outfit, you. She got some pretty eyes. Missy, go ahead.
I was waiting for you to quit fussing over the
Oh, well, I'm going to do that.
Hey, I also.
Elisha! Go ahead,
I
Missy.
also saw that Musk is supposedly to step, he said he was going to step down in May. Did anybody else hear that?
No. We rebuke out in the name of Jesus.
I did too. I heard that.
Yeah, so Lord, I don't know what's going on with that, but I know that it was saying something about that. He said that he was only going to be in there for a while, and or until he gets certain numbers, or whatever's accomplished, whatever that was, or whatever. I don't know. But Father, I just ask, Lord, that you keep him in there and you keep him protected, Lord, as long as you want to use him, Lord. In Jesus' name, that nothing
Amen.
would
Thank you,
have
Lord.
him leave before his time, according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, set it in his heart to stay with it as long as you need him in there, in Jesus' name, to get this corrupt government straightened up. Amen. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
So, Father, thank you for the work that he's doing, Elon Musk is doing in there. Thank you for the, it's obvious that he is stirring the pot of hornet's nest up here, and Lord, that you've put him right in the place where he needs to be to neutralize and tear down the support system of this deep state that is in there. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we bind that spirit, the spirit that is coming against him, the spirit of this deep state system coming against him right now. We command it to be neutralized and reversed. We command that all these things be turned back upon them, that those attacks be turned back and expose them and turn the consequences of their attacks back upon themselves. In Jesus' name, we command their support system to come crumbling down in the name of Jesus. We stand against it right now. We cast it down in Jesus' name, and we forbid you from attacking Elon Musk or the purpose that he is performing now. We command you to relieve your attack off on the Trump administration. We command these judges to be reversed, exposed, their support system to be revealed, so that they are brought down in the name of Jesus, that they are openly exposed to the media and to the people, and the support and the bribery and the threats and all this that's coming against them. We command it to be reversed, exposed, and destroyed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for the work that you're doing in us, and we thank you for the work that you're doing in tearing this state down, this deep state system across the world. Lord, we bind that spirit that is attacking the all of these conservative presidents and candidates around the world, Lord, whether it be, I don't even know all their names. The last one to fall, of course, was the conservative contender in France. We bind that system that's coming against her in the name of Jesus. We command that those forces attacking her be reversed and neutralized and pushed back upon the perpetrators now and reveal their evil. We have their evil, command their evil be exposed. And we resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. You will fall. You will turn them loose now. You will leave them now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your wonderful life, your power, the authority that you've given us, for we live in you and reign in Jesus. And we thank you for that, for you put it within us, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I'd like to say a prayer. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you that you got Michael home safely and that you give him strength and energy and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to get through this outreach in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for blessing our brother and blessing us and leading this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry about that. I slipped
We
off into la
understand.
la land. Go ahead, Julie.
Can I share a little clip? I don't know if everyone saw it, a little
Sure.
clip of the cockatiel that William posted.
Oh, I hadn't seen it. Yeah, go
One of our
ahead.
favorite songs. Could you give me share permissions, please?
Yeah.
And
You got it.
thank you.
Hey, Teresa, why don't you get that song that you and Terry liked? Get it ready and we'll share it.
Okay, but I don't know how to send it to you. I can send it to Jolie.
Well, if you could send it to Julie, that'd be fine. Go
What
ahead,
do you
Julie.
think about that, Jolie?
That's fine. I gotta find what I saved it at here. Ah, here we go. heart.
Is this a talking bird?
Yeah. No. You have to watch. Hold on.
Can't hear it, Julie.
Is he tied to the page? You're muted too. It's hard to hear you when you're muted. You're still muted. Don't shake your head. Yeah, not on mute. We want to know what you're saying. You may be doing saying things you shouldn't be saying. That hair boy, I'll tell you what. We saw him fluttering up there. What'd he do? Hit the floor? That's pretty. That's a pink pass. Is this Williams' place? We almost had it. We had it for about 2 seconds.
But can you see it?
We see a rail fence.
Okay, hold on. I got to change screens here.
Now you're on the beach.
Let's see.
There's the rooster.
It won't let me do what I want to do. Me try this again. Can you see this?
No, we, yeah, okay, maybe.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Boogie down, boy, boogie down. That's pretty neat. I hadn't seen that. That is awesome. That's Will's bird.
No, it's not his bird, but what he said was, let me go to see if I did here. He said, It's not my bird. Saw it in a South African social media. See the writing on the wall and notice it's African. So he wrote, what it means is, Lord, bless our house and guard our home, we pray. That's what it says on the wall.
Amen.
Not his bird, but he shared it. We're all pretty blessed by it. I thought it was pretty cool.
That's an awesome bird. Praising the Lord.
Amen.
I'd love to have one like that, man. But I'd have to find somebody to feed it. All right.
So you want me to share that song now that
Yeah,
Teresa?
that'd be great. That'd be good. I like that song. I'll listen to it, Teresa. I like it.
All right, let me share that again here.
Bye, Caitlin.
Can you see it? Black screen?
I see this black screen, yeah. All right, here it comes.
Three brothers in a fire, willing to die for their faith. But you were with them in the fire, and they walked out the next day. And Daniel met a lion, because he chose to pray. But you shut the mouth of that lion, and he walked out the next day. So what's gonna be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my beliefs or will I turn around and run? Well, let the whole world hear me say, I'm unashamed.
I like that song. That's a good one. Amen.
That's a great song. Thanks, Teresa.
Yeah. I'm gonna
You
add
can
that to my
chat.
list.
So Terry's middle daughter, Kaylin, Terry comes to see the kids.
You muted yourself. You can't
Terry
thrash
drives.
around with your hands. You stop that. You hit that kind of
Terry
stuff.
drives across Kansas every weekend to spend time with his kids. And so his middle daughter introduced him to this song, and she wanted him to play that song while they were with her. Well, that song means something to Terry, because those words, he changed my life. Terry, he got that. He got the Heavenly Father and Jesus and His Holy Spirit doing that in his life. He got it. And so, and he knows what a miracle it is. So that song really means something to Terry.
Praise
And,
God.
we were the people that I'm just going to say this, the people that are trying to foment the storms, they had a monster storm supposed to come through Kansas. And especially, it's coming on tonight, tornadoes. Well, Terry's got to drive across Kansas. And so, and I was telling, I've been expounding to him, we have power and authority. Jesus Christ has all power and all authority over all of heaven and all of earth. And if we're in Jesus Christ, we are in his, through his name, we have authority as well in his name, through his name. It's not us, it's him. And so, I expand on this to Terry that we can forbid some things, we can bind some things, and we can say, no, you're not going to have that. We're not going to have that here. We're going to, and so, which I've been doing over the weather. And so when these tornadoes are due to come by, I forbid it in Jesus' name. And I say, no, we're going to have gentle rains, gentle winds, and the one gentle purified rains. And so anyway, so he was driving home across Kansas, and these storm clouds were cl coming up. Well, he believes what I say. He believes that. And so he was playing that song that Kaylin gave him, which and it means something to him. He has faith. He's having faith. And those clouds rolled back, and so he made it home safely, clear
Praise
skies.
God. Praise the Lord.
So that song meant something to him.
Praise God. I always thought I had it the other day when Michelle and I were on the back porch, and it was, I mean, on the back deck, and we were getting ready for our hamburger grilling and have all the grandkids and stuff over.
Yeah,
And
those
what?
storms, they've been coming across to the East Coast and through the South, and they've been pretty terrible.
Well, as I was going to say, I told her, I said, let's pray this clouds out. It's
Yeah.
supposed to rain and all that. And we prayed them out. Within 30 minutes, the sun came out, and it was beautiful day all day long. Made an impression on Michelle.
Thank you,
Praise
Jesus.
God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now she's talking faith. She's doing the same thing as Terry's doing. She's taking it and running with it, you know. That's good. Okay, anyone else? I just be a light. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Be a light. Give out the gospel whenever you can, and the gospel is showing out for Jesus. Amen. Y'all remember some years ago that I played SM Lockridge's That's My King. Would y'all want to hear that again? I like that. It's such an uplifting deal. Yeah, Missy, did you want to do it?
No, but I was gonna say, if we're gonna, you're gonna play that, then you gotta play CeCe Winans' song, That's My King. You got to do both. Just
Wait,
saying.
wait a minute, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that I got to play a song after?
I'm suggesting.
Yeah, I like that song too. We can do that. We can do that. Okay, here we go. Let me see if I can share.
My king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining
days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold, he the dry bones becoming as fresh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, yes, Lord. The fields are as white in your word. Yes, and we are the laborers in your Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah.
Declare tonight, Jesus, there's no God like Jehovah. Nobody. Nobody. Not Buddha.
nor my hand, nor sun, nor moon. Nobody, 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 nobody,
nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody,
nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, nobody, my protector, that's my king, that's my rock, that's my anchor. My defender, that's my king, that's my God.
There was another good song playing. I started to let you listen to it, but I said, oh no, somebody may have something they want to share. I don't care. I think I'll go back to it. No. I'm just kidding. That's a good song. I like that song. I like that Judy Jacobs song best, though. Can you tell in that audience out there while Judy's singing? You could tell the Pentecostals, you could tell the Baptists, can't you? The Baptists are, and the Pentecostals, they got the eye closed and they got the hands up and they're going with the Holy Spirit. Yes, it was. I suspect it was. That many hen in there? I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought so. Looked like it. Oh, younger Benny Hinn. Okay, has anybody got anything they want to share? Okay, Pat.
I was just thinking, actually today, I didn't really get a chance to. Well, what I was thinking, and I'll just spit it out. I was on my way to work, and you kind of touched it on there when you said, the Pentecostals, they're released, and flowing with the Spirit, and the Baptists or the conservative groups, they're more rigid and controlled, I guess you might say, or whatever. But we, I believe, so what I think obviously is necessary is for the sides. It's almost like there's, if you've been in the denominations, each group kind of looks down on the other as missing, the necessary ingredients for righteousness and walking with Jesus. Both sides, appear the same way, or kind of tend to, subtly view the other group the other way. It's almost like you can see it in action in the Democrats and Republicans, but the interesting thing about it is, the thing that I was thinking is that there, each side, if you can call it that, needs to be able to leave their side for a time. I don't know how that's even done, and shift over to the other side and try to absorb and understand why what each the other side is thinking. Why do they have the positions that they are thinking? What are their fears? It's interesting that, when God took the children of Israel, delivered them out of the house of bondage in Egypt through his mighty hand, then he sent them through into the wilderness to, you know what? Let me, I'm just looking at the general sense. It's interesting that We first had Abraham. Abraham, who is the father of our faith, came first. And then what came after that was the law, captivity, and Moses brought us the law. So there was first faith, and then there was the law in order to release us into the new covenant, Holy Spirit, and introduce us into Christ. And in one sense, in Christendom today, there is a leaving of the law. And in that, I mean, there is the pulling away from the what am I trying to say? That from the law of the word. The scripture said, the law of Moses was given for a purpose, and it obviously it was a rigid conformity to bring forth the awareness in mankind that they did not have the ability to live righteously. And that law was then overcome by Jesus, and the law of life of Christ, the law of the life of Christ, in what is it, Romans 2 or 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of Christ in us made us free. The freedom is the trust, the security, and the putting forth the preeminence of God's word in our life in order to provide the necessary path or the pathway for the Holy Spirit to function within us in a, what am I trying to say? Never mind, I'll stop right there on that. I'll just say that there is the conservative side of Christianity tends to hang on the rigidity of the law or of the word, but is lacking the filling of the Spirit in order to make that life alive. However, there's also a tendency in the spirit-filled side of Christianity to walk in the freedom and release of the spirit without the security of the law. Let me just say it this way, is that the picture is a locomotive. God has blessed us, birthed us again into the kingdom of God, released us from an old life, and has put us as engineers behind the locomotive and given us a task to do, overcome in his and establish his dominion on the earth, and overcome even as he overcame. He's given us the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish that. That Holy Spirit is like the locomotive. But the law, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And that law is like the train tracks that are laid out on God lays out the train tracks toward the destination. And for the purpose of empowering the Holy Spirit as we move down the train tracks of life, and guided by that word, and His Holy Spirit empowers us to roll down that track. If one ignores the law of the Lord, it's like seeking the power of that locomotive without the train tracks being laid out in front of you, and you can feel tremendous and great and empowered and move in that power. But if you're not going in accordance to God's word, in obedience to that word, and in compliance to that truth, it can be derailed. It can swerve off the tracks. And so there, I guess the thing I'm thinking is that there has got to be a marrying of the two. The law of the Lord, which overcomes the law of the world and the law of sin and death, has to be married together with the Holy Spirit and power in order to make that thing happen. I was even thinking about some of these people. I was reading about John G. Lake. When, and I think we've talked about it before, he is obviously is instrumental in really bringing and teaching the process of healing in the church brought it in the 1900s, early 1900s, and he was able to function and start to establish some of these truths of healings, and he did so actually before he was baptized in the Spirit in the early century, or in the early 1900s. John Alexander Dowie, who is supposed to be kind of the father of this, the healing movement, he never received the baptism of the Spirit and rejected it. So there's a certain law, certain laws of function that God has in place that function in accordance to his created law. The way, when I say law, I don't mean specifically like the law of Moses. I mean more like certain laws, like the law of gravity, and having created these things the way they function. And the Holy Spirit is meant, I believe, to enhance and empower that. The example is when I think John G. Lake functioned for 15 plus to 15, 20 years, developing and understanding, finding out from the Lord the processes of healing and obedience and whatnot that made his movement so successful. Yet, and he had many examples of, people being healed and raised from the dead and whatever. But when he sought God to receive the Holy Spirit and was baptized in the Holy Spirit, less than 6 months later, he was on a ship as a missionary to Africa, to South Africa. And there, revival broke out, and he just he just things really unleashed and unloaded. So I guess would you say that just because I think God wants to bring these sides of Christianity back together in unity. Because both sides, if you can again say sides, both sides have to be able to, I'm not going to say relax, but they have to put their perspective to the side long enough to be able to receive the others, the benefits of what God has done in the other side. And when they both do, I believe the extravagances or the things that are a little bit out on the edge on both perspectives will start to disappear, and things will coalesce toward the middle a little bit. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Okay. Praise God. Anyone else? Yeah, Teresa.
I just know that I had to grow up Catholic. I had the unfortunate experience of being put in a Catholic school, Catholic grade school. Had to go to Catholic Mass for a religion class every day, and then had to, go to church, Sundays. And I did have the opportunity to grow up in the country. So growing up in the country, I wasn't around a lot of society a lot, and I could feel the presence of God. I knew God was, it says in Romans that God gives everyone an aware everything that he's created an awareness of himself. So I had an awareness of God, but I just didn't know how to reach him. I didn't know about Jesus Christ yet. I knew about Jesus Christ in grade school, but I didn't know how to reach him. You have to be born again. They didn't teach that. And so, I God started revealing to me even at 10 years old that the Catholic religion was just Antichrist. It was Antichrist. The hierarchy was Antichrist. And I had to deal with these people every day. And so so I totally rejected God because of that. And so it wasn't until later when Jesus Christ just reached down and he said, and he gave me an understanding that I had to receive him, his blood atonement for his sins, and I had to make a decision to receive him, and which I did. And then immediately I was born again. So I experienced that. And the old man was dead, the new man was alive. And so I wasn't even in church yet because I had totally rejected anything having to do with church until I was about, oh, just at the beginning of 16 years old. And so I'm just saying that there are tares out there, and the tares will grow with the wheat until the harvest time. And then so anyway, but I also understand that it's going to be the Holy Spirit that puts his body together. And so I just wanted to say that sometimes there's beliefs out there that you can't reconcile because they're just antichrist. So that's what I experienced anyway.
Amen. Kind of reminds me the other day I was ministering to my best friend when we were growing up, and we're still good friends. But he's not a Christian in the sense that to be a Christian, you start looking, acting, talking like Jesus. And he brought up in the Methodist Church. As you know, it's pretty liberal. And I talked to him and I talked a little bit about it, but I generally waited until he got off and I texted him. I said, because he's a farmer, okay? He grew up as a farmer just like we did. And ever other word out of his mouth was a curse word, you know, and he's colorful, very colorful. His grandpa was colorful too, but anyway, I texted him after we got through talking. I told him, I said, he said that he's going to come back to Jesus and he wanted to do right and quit drinking and doing all the things that he's been doing all his life. He's the same age I am. And so I texted him after that and I told him, I said, John, I said, what you need to know is there are 44,000 denominations, and every one of them seems to think that they have the right answer to Christianity. And I told him, I said, the only way to find out what it is to be a Christian is to read and study the Word of God yourself. You can't depend on somebody else to tell you what to do. And I said, I don't mind sending you a booklet, and I was going to send him The Truth About Born Again. That's a good little old booklet. But I never heard back from him, so I don't know what happened, but I suspect that he's done this two or three times throughout our grown-up years, you know, go back and think he's going to go to church and everything's going to be fine. And y'all know as well as I do that the Methodists aren't like they used to be when they first came out. They were holiness churches back then when the Wesley brothers were bringing it in. As a matter of fact, I had a grandfather, Jacob Hare, that was a Methodist circuit rider, great grandfather, great great grandfather, is a Methodist circuit rider and rode around and gave out the gospel. So I know a little bit about the Methodists, not much, other than that's what he did, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, I think. But anyway, I said that to say this, that we can't depend upon man to teach us. It has to be us and Jesus talking about it, us and the Holy Spirit talking about it, us and the Father talking about it, us and God talking about it. And he'll direct you in every way that you need to go into the, you know, I was saved in a Baptist church, but I knew from years of watching Baptists and Pentecostals and things like that on TV, the Baptists were good at evangelizing. But that's as far as they went. They're good at evangelizing, but once they get them in, they don't, you know, they'll give you a booklet and tell you to go teach the children. And you don't know much about them yourself, you know. But anyway, that's where we get messed up. A lot of people rely on somebody else to tell us what to do. When we fact, we need to get in the Word and do it ourselves. That's the only way to get it in your heart. Okay, Pat. I like it when to praise God, you know, just get excited about Jesus, you know. And that's why I like those old Pentecostal preachers, Pat. You know, the ones that
Absolutely.
had the hacking preaching.
Do you know him?
Yeah, Lord, I got it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And Judy Jacobs, you know.
Yeah, and have somebody. I used to listen to. We had a black church down the road when we lived out in the country, and I used to go down there and sneak around and listen to their praise and worship all the time. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, I think What, you know, I was born again before I went to church, kind of maybe kind of like Teresa, except I wasn't influenced by the system. Maybe she was in the Catholic scenario, I was a full-blown pagan, you know. But I did know the Lord's voice. And quite frankly, he led me into the Baptist Church. So I think that basic ingredient is kind of essential before you go into that system. And so I just can't, in my mind, I can't. I can't I guess write off the that section of the church because number one, I know the areas that where they are wrong. And you know, obviously they don't have a firm grasp on the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit. And so I think therefore their whole theology and everything functions around just getting people to, you know, pray that prayer and get across the line, because obviously, the Holy Spirit's given to us to guide us into all truth, and is that helper that we need to not only learn to walk with God, but to grow up and grow up into Jesus. And if you're in a theological environment that does not believe in that process, the only, you know, the biggest trophy of their whole life is just getting people born again or brought into the system, I guess you might say. So, but I feel like there's a lot of people that subtly were seeking God, and they very well may have already been in the church, but are seeking God. And there is that seed of hope and desire that is, it lies dormant within them because they're in a system that represents God to them, and they don't know where else to go, and they don't even probably believe that there is a place to go. That maybe they could very well believe that these feelings and thoughts that they have and these hopes that are just there, they still have to figure out how these things fit within that realm that they're in. Is this just something that I, you know, have to wait until I die and go to heaven, or what? You know, there's got to be those feelings. As you know, when God calls us, invites us into that invitation or that calling doesn't cease. You know, the person with you know, within may squelch it and move on and to live in the desires of the world and be caught in the lust of the flesh or whatever it would be, but there's still that calling inside, pulling them, their heart's desire, and I believe that, you know, that The thing that brings that out in people is opposition and failure and coming to the end of their own personal resources in some form or another, whether it be spiritual or financially or whatever. So I think that in one sense, you can kind of look at that system as being an incubator by the Lord, that these people, I suspect, are in somewhat of a holding pattern, maybe. I don't know. And inwardly are waiting to see the demonstration of the reality of God. And so I believe that when God does this, and we see this in the man-child and the explosion of the Holy Spirit in this revival that is coming, there's going to be a demonstration of that, which I believe is going to release people with release their hope to be able to reach out and grab that hope in Jesus and turn their back on even the security of that environment that they're in right now. As a matter of fact, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. That's all there is to it. God isn't wasting his spirit, his word, he put his word out and it won't return to him powerless. And it's so I don't know. Praise the Lord. I'm probably rambling now, but I just feel that when the demonstration of the powerful presence of God, which he is ready to release, is revealed, I believe people are going to come pouring in, and they turn their backs on that system that is inwardly failing them, and that they're probably afraid to really address. It's like the spiritual deep state. Those people that are caught by the bribery and the threats and caught within that system, even Elon Musk, with all of his wealth, I don't know if he's really seeing it now. He's seeing the pressure and the rise of evil that's coming against him for simply wanting to do good, and he's seeing this spiritual battle that is there. But can you imagine when you start to see how big and how organized and orchestrated and how gigantic and how links and the what am I trying to say? The web of deceit and the web of evil that permeates every aspect of our society, that has got to be so overwhelming when you're starting to see that. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I can't imagine how your only other hope is to raise the awareness of the American people in the world and vote these people out. You and I know that voting is not going to get him out the door. It's going to take power, the power and the demonstration of the power of God to pull that kingdom down. And unfortunately, it's like Teresa said, you're not going to talk these people out of their evil. You're not going to talk them out of it. There's going to have to be a destruction, and I don't mean by war or something like that. God is going to have to overpower those people in some form or another, and take them out, however he does that. Because that system, there's probably a major amount of people that are maybe like Elon Musk, maybe they're just now starting to see this. This thing's been building for 100 years at least, if not longer. It's really gotten strong, but I can remember back when I was, in the 70s and 80s. This is where, like, the John Birch Society and all that stuff back in the 40s, that's when all that came out. They were starting to see it then. But it had already been, they were only seeing it because it had already developed, and the power of and the organizations and the thing that was building up had already built to the place where people were starting to recognize it was influencing governments, and the evil had just grown significantly. Well, now it is massively has overwhelmed all facets of the earth, and we're just getting started, because when AI kicks in and all this sort of stuff, we've been reading about all that. That stuff's going to unleash this thing into another level. And praise God, he's building the people that are learning to function in the authority of Jesus Christ and pull these strongholds down and battle these things. So, praise the Lord. We are in exciting times. Amen. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Amen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I never will forget Pat. One time I was when I was living in Hot Springs, I watched a program. I can't remember which one it was, but anyway, they say, if you want to accept Jesus, bow down and do get on your knees and repent and all that. And I did all that, and I went to a church the next day to talk to the pastor about what I did. And it was a church that I grew up in. And I walked in there, and I saw the pastor. It was a big, fairly big church. And I told him, I said, I was just born again. I want to know what to do. He said, what's born again? So I said, okay, I'll see you later. I just turned around and walked back out. I knew I was in the wrong place. And so I got hooked up with a Baptist that had a little church out there where I lived. I lived out in the country from Hot Springs. And I'd be dadgum if he didn't run off with the secretary. And so I just gave it up for a while. Oh man, I tell you. The best thing to tell people, here's what I tell people after all of those experiences I had. That was back in the early 80s. And I didn't come to the Lord full time until 97. It turned me off that much. But anyway, what I do is I tell them, I talk to them about the Lord, talk to them about healing, whatever it is that they need. And then I tell them, go read James, because James is tells you what, how you can walk, what it is to be a Christian, how to be a disciple. And then if I have a little, I generally carry a couple of those truth about born again with me too. Anybody else got an experience on their evangelizing out in the world? Y'all remember who Dick Chick was, don't you? You don't
Is that
remember
the
him?
Chick Tracks? Yeah, those were great.
They still are. He still sells them out there. I used to get it. I used to buy a lot of his stuff, a lot of those, and hand to go out and hand them out. It's a good conversation piece. You take those tracks with you and hand them out, or the little coins with the Ten Commandments on it. All those things that he had were pretty neat to get the conversation started. That's mostly what they were. And the little coins with the Ten Commandments on, you had a copper penny with the Ten Commandments on it, and then you had a big silver one, or aluminum, actually, that had the Ten Commandments on it. You give those to the kids. I'd give those to the kids while mom and dad was looking at the track, and I'd be talking to them. But yeah, he was neat back then. I don't even know if he's still alive now. Yeah, there you go. He's got one. Andrew's got one. Yeah.
That's my $1 million bill.
Is it? Yeah, I remember those.
The back, it's got a track. You have to follow it and read it all the way around. Yeah. So that's pretty
Yeah.
cool. So.
Yeah. Are y'all aware of the tracks that UBM has on
Yeah,
site?
I've got one. If you have to fold it in three,
Yeah,
and yeah, I've got
I
one of
think
those.
one that I've got out there in the truck is Eternal Life, I think is what it's called. Yeah. Did you have something, Julie? Oh, I thought you had you. Oh, was that Missy? Okay, y'all sitting right there together, and I couldn't tell which one you were. Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid getting a silver coin thing with the Ten Commandments on it. I remember that.
Yeah, I've
And
got a bunch of them up here in my thing there. I
for
found back.
some reason, I don't know if this is the case, but it seems like there was something that had that on, and also the bicentennial from back in the
1976.
Yeah, that had like a
Yeah.
bicentennial on one side and the Ten Commandments. Do you remember something like that?
I don't doubt that he had it. No, I don't remember
I'm
anything
not
like that.
positive about that. I'm not sure if I'm
I
thinking of
don't
two
know if
different
that was
things.
Dick Chick or not. It could have been.
But yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty popular. He wrote that funny book, that comic book that told the story of the Catholic priest that came out of the Catholicism. And he actually he was a what's the arm of what's the army of the Pope?
Jesuit.
Yeah, he was a Jesuit. Did anybody ever see that comic? It told his story and how he exposed the Catholic Church and the Pope and all that stuff, what they
That
were.
Alberto guy.
Yeah, Alberto Rivera.
Well, whatever his name was, Alberto. Yeah, I used to have those comics went missing. You know,
They
because
did.
a friend of mine lent them to me. And I read it and I was going, oh, what am I going to do now? And yeah, there's quite a lot secret stuff they used to do.
I had that, Andrew, I had that comic book on my desk at work. I was a maintenance supervisor, and a maintenance supervisor was in there too. And I was the electrical, and he was the mechanical. Anyway, I had that funny book on my on desk, and he got it, read it. He was a Catholic. Boy, he got all over. He's just, I mean, he was offended by it, and what, you know. And I told him, I said, well, all you got to do is read the thing and it tells you what was going on. I said, if you can either believe it or not, you don't have to jump on me. I didn't write the
Yeah, I sort of remember Alberto's coming to the Lord.
Yeah.
What some of the stuff they did, because I believe his sister lived in England, and it wasn't good stuff that they did.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at
all.
They
have power. They have man's power, government and stuff behind them and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a difficulty. Yeah.
Well, if we only knew, there are some Christian churches that are also into some bad stuff also. So it's not that the Catholic are the only ones that are messing up. There's plenty more out there.
Well, if you go to Exodus 20, because, you know, the Catholics will tell you to remember the Ten Commandments. But in Exodus 20, they got the little g in Exodus 20 and verse 3. And in verse 2, it just basically says, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any false gods before me. And how does it go? Like I just looked at it, and it says, I am the Lord thy God, or Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And that's 20 and 2. And 20 and 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And of course, it goes on, the first commandment, for a few verses there. But gods is little g, so that's man's word. So, you know, we don't want to get any of man's seed in us, any man's word in us, because we want to be a virgin. Right. So that leaves out anyone, I guess, who has children, eh? No. it's a parable about Mary. You know, she didn't get any of man's seed in her, and her firstborn was of God, and the seed that had to get that baby in her womb was of the Holy Spirit. So we look at it as having no other word coming into us except the word of the Lord. And Jesus is the name called the Word of God. So you pregnant ladies know about being pregnant, but you know, there's not going to be any word that's supposed to come into you that's contrary to the Word of God. And we might not necessarily know fully how to do that, but God does. So that's who we have to leave it up to. So, you know, God told me after a while when I was joining UBM, he just said, well, Andrew, every word read, every word spoken, every word heard, and every word that pops into your head has a spirit attached to it, whether good or evil, whether light or darkness, whether sweet or bitter. And God wants to download into us. He said, I will put my law into your heart. So the throw off for those people who don't understand the covenant is they think it's law. But no, if God is going to put the law in your heart, it's grace, because he doesn't. He's creating you into his word. Jesus is the name called the Word of God, and we abide in that. So he's putting that word in you, and that's the only word we're supposed to speak. But it cleanses you too, you know, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. And of course, there's the Spirit, the Word, and the blood. And all of these three come together as a name, because, you know, we got baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice because our names are written in the heavens. These three entities share the name. And of course, the name is also, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become, I'll just change it a bit, children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we believe on his name, you know, and the name is there. The name is Jesus, yes, but it's that nature, character, and authority, that mind, that will, the emotion, the heart. And we depend upon God to bring all of that into us. We can't do that by ourselves. God has to. It's like when you you know, if you download something in your computer and it's already there, it'll tell you it's already there. So why is it that we as people think craziness? You know, I remember a long time ago, a woman said, well, how do we know, if she was with us on fellowship here, how do we know whether we're under the law or under grace? We were there all sort of cut off, didn't know what to say to her. And it's not the law. It's grace, because it has to be put into you. But sometimes people get this word put into them and they think, well, do I have it now? Well, you better have it, because if God put it in there, it's in there. You know, like, don't second guess yourself. That could be an interference on the dark side, you know. If it's in there, it's in there, okay? And don't allow it not to be in there. Depend on God, you know, and of course, you know, you sometimes think about those people who came here, and that lady, I forget her name, I don't know who it was, and she asked that question, how do you know if we're under the law or under grace? And of course, you know, you get the verses going into your head, you know, and then you go, well, we're not under the law, but under grace. You know, it says that in your baptism of Romans chapter 6, verse 14, you know. But, you know, you have to know the law of faith, and it's a spiritual law, and it's in Romans, you know. So I reckon a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And there's a lot of places that this former Pharisee, Paul, tells us about that, you know, and we're not under the law. The law, you know, there's God, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That law is nailed to the cross. You know, there's a lot of, there's two references for that. I can only remember the one in Colossians, but, you know, I can't verbatim it, but, you know, Timothy said the law is good if one uses it lawfully. It's not for a righteous man. You know, they would throw you out of some of the churches if you said that. You know, and how do you bring the commandments across for it not to be law? How do you bring the law, which is the letter of the word, across into our covenant? Well, it's written right there in Romans chapter 13. You know, it tells you, it lists some of the laws there. And of course, we have to have, our job is to love one another. That's what it says there, something like that anyway. So the law transposes into that love for obedience. There's no law there. It even says that in 13:10 of Romans. You know, the law frees us. The love frees us from the law. You know, and love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, you know, and Jesus said it over there. I think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill. So it's fulfilled in the love. Come on, people now. We know the commandments in 1 John 5 and 3 is love. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So we attend these spiritual behaviors, and they're all listed there. And you know, when you list the nine spirits, fruits of the spirit, it talks about it not being under the law. So how to present these things to the people, though, has to come by God, and God has to call them. And he calls you for every single piece of fruit you get, too. You know, he has to develop your mind for his word, for his water of his word, so that you could be sanctified. And he promises you holiness, so what's the problem with that? He promises you at the calling. He had called you is holy, therefore be therefore holy. Well, Peter said that, and in the same chapter he says he promises you holiness. He has to sanctify us, yes. But as in the verse of in the very end of the last page, you know, let the righteous be righteous still, and let the holy be made holy still. So he's taking you from that righteous state of what he did for you at the cross and resurrection, and whatever's righteous in you is there, and whatever he took the righteousness and mixed it up with the sanctification, and now he's got fruit in you, so now you're holy there. That's the only way I can explain it. And of course, there's the unrighteous, let them be unrighteous still, and the filthy, let them be made filthy still. He's making you holy. So you bunch of holy rollers here. Don't tell me you're not holy, because if God's going to make you holy, he promised it to you. He doesn't break his promise. And the fruit is the most important of the things here, and that's okay. You do the fruit, and the gifts are going to come, and the blessings too. It's all by him anyway. So we are all of these words, the holiness, the righteousness, the blessings, the gifts are all in the word, and he's busy putting it in you, putting it in your head and in your heart, and it's got to make its way to the soul and your strength. I mean, how else are you going to wash someone else's feet? You know, what washes you? The word. Jesus was the name called the word of God, and he washed their feet. He's washing their walk. How many Bible verses you know with walk in it? You know, you get older, the feet don't look as good as when you were a young kid, you know, and it's not talking about that kind of feet. It's talking about your walk in the Lord. We're children of God, becoming sons and daughters. If he sanctifies and cleanses you, then you know that sanctification and cleansing has to do with your cross, your reconciliation, your yoke, your circumcision of your heart, and your baptism. Right? I mean, there's don't look at me like I'm strange here. If I'm strange, you're just as strange as me, and I'm trying to leave it up to God, because he's the one that can only do it. So we speak of an almighty God. You sing that song about the creation, you know. I was singing it this morning there. He goes into the universe, and then it's the streams and the mountains, and then he goes to the cross, and then he goes after the cross. You know, the song, "How Great Thou Art." You know, it's a song of creation, and it's a creation in Christ too on the third stanza, and then it's the creation when he comes for you. And you know, you can't change yourself. We can't look like that light bulb that outshines this noonday sun when Jesus appeared before Saul and turned him into a Paul. Anyways, we have a body that's going to shine like light. So when you take your hand and you put it up against the light, this side's shadowy and this side's all shiny. But when you're in heaven, there's no shadow. It's going to shine from this side too. And there's no shadow of turning, and there's no shade in heaven. If you don't believe me, go ask, what's his name there, who went there so many times. There's no shadow. You know, you look under the table and there's a shadow there, you know, under the chair over there or under the fake fridge. I have a fridge here that's an ice box. It's made out of wood from 1910. So if you look under that thing, oh, there's too much dust under there. So it's good there's no light under there. No dust in heaven either. So your dust and days are over there. Anyway, so praise God, the dust will shine in heaven. It'll be jewels. So we have a road paved pure, clean glass, you know, and that's what we have in store for us to live our rest of our days forever. And I don't know really what happens after when eternity starts, after the 1,000 years of peace, but I'm sure there's going to be all a bunch of new things for us to have there. Who knows? Maybe we'll just be a star in the heavens for the next guys to look at if God starts over again for another 7 days or 8 days. I don't know. Might start over with another earth. I don't know. Maybe he'll put you in charge. Praise God for eternity. Anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, we're out of time. Y'all be blessed. Anybody got anything I need to pray before we leave? Okay. Y'all be blessed in Jesus' name.